Sometimes you know something is wrong, but you're not sure what or why. It's like the man who went to see his doctor about his constant headaches. And the doctor asked him if he smoked. The man said, yes. Well, stop smoking, said the doctor. Stop smoking, the headaches persisted. When he went back to the doctor, he was asked if he drank alcohol. Yes, I drink quite a bit, the man said. Stop it, said the doctor. So he did. Headache still wouldn't go away. At his next visit, the doctor asked him, at your job, do you do anything that puts pressure on your back? And the man said, yes, that was true of his work. Well, quit your job, the doctor advised, and so he did. He quit his job. He found another one. He still got headaches. Every day, the pain would pulse through his head, and finally, the cause was discovered. The man was wearing shirts with a size 15 collar, but he had a size 16 neck. No wonder he was having headaches. There are times when, as followers of Jesus, we just know something is wrong about our relationship with the Lord, but we're not really sure why or what. And I'm convinced that sometimes Christians feel dissatisfied, discontent, disappointed in their attempts to follow Jesus because of the simple fact that they're ignorant of their spiritual gifts, or they're refusing to use those gifts for God's glory. Invasion from above, why the Holy Spirit matters, is the name of our current message series about the Holy Spirit. And today I want us to think together about something the Bible calls the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And the fact is that God has a job for each of us to do in this life. And discovering those assignments and doing them, living them out, are some of the greatest joys any follower of Jesus can experience in this life. And when you discover your gifts and you put them to use, your life gains a sense of purpose, and you know that you're making some kind of good and eternal impact. Your spiritual gifts are your spiritual job description, so to speak. And you just can't afford to be ignorant of them or refuse to use them for God's glory. They matter that much, the gifts of the Spirit. So today, I'm not going to deal with the specific mentioned in the Bible. We'll do that in 2 weeks. Instead, I want to share with you 6 important truths about spiritual gifts as a whole. And this is just important information about the spiritual job description that the Holy Spirit has for your life and for my life. So let's open up our Bibles and look at our scripture passage for today. It's found in Paul's first letter to the Christians in Corinth, Corinthians chapter 12. And I want to read verses 1 through 11 of that chapter. 1 Corinthians 12, beginning at verse 1. Find it in your Bible, on your phone, your tablet, or in one of those pew Bibles in front of you. Here we go. First verse, 1 Corinthians 12. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, just as He determines. So, off we go. Here we go. First, spiritual gifts are given by the Holy Spirit. The repeated references to the Holy Spirit in the passage that we just read makes that abundantly clear, doesn't it? When does He give us these gifts, the Holy Spirit? Well, apparently right at conversion. The moment you put your trust in Jesus, even though you were likely oblivious to it at the time. Most followers of Jesus don't discover how the Holy Spirit has gifted them until a bit later in their spiritual journey. But those gifts are there waiting to be developed from day one of your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it's important that you and I don't confuse the fruit of the Holy Spirit with the gifts of the Spirit. They're related, yes, but they're different in significant ways. The fruit of the Spirit, what is it? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Here's some important differences. Nobody receives the Spirit or the fruit of the Spirit automatically. They're about your inner character, and they appear and they develop in your life over time as you allow the Holy Spirit to influence and impact your life. But by way of contrast, you are gifted by the Holy Spirit with certain spiritual abilities right at conversion. No, you probably didn't know what they were, but that's when you got them. And yes, you do need to use and develop what the Spirit gave you, just like the fruit, but you didn't put those gifts there. The Holy Spirit just gave them to you. Here's another difference. The fruit of the Spirit has to do with your inner character, who you are as a follower of Jesus. The gifts of the Spirit have to do with how you serve the Lord, what you do as a follower of Jesus. And then here's yet another difference. Every follower of Jesus ought to possess all of the fruit of the Spirit in his or her life. You see, you and I can't say something like this. Well, you know, I can be loving and gentle, but I just don't have the gift of patience and self-control. Well, patience and self-control aren't gifts, okay? They're fruit. And so, as a child of God, you and I are supposed to bear all of the fruit of the Spirit eventually. But no Christian has all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Instead, God provides a wonderful, diverse variety of abilities that show up differently in the lives of His children. Now, because the Holy Spirit is the one who gives us these abilities, there's never any place for you or me to either be jealous or boastful. You didn't choose your spiritual gifts. They were selected by and given to you by the Holy Spirit. Remember that scripture? It's the last one in what we read today. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. So it's ridiculous then to ever think, wow, God gave me a gift of leadership, or God gave me a gift of teaching. I must be better. I must be more important than other Christians. You had precisely nothing to do with it. By the same token, it's just as foolish to think, how come I didn't get born with a great singing voice? Or why don't I have the ability to organize some great ministry. I must not matter to God very much. How the Holy Spirit has gifted each of us has nothing to do with our value to Him. He loves each of us the same, but He's gifted us differently. And the important thing is to find out how the Holy Spirit has gifted you and then begin to put those abilities into action. Okay, here's another great truth. Spiritual gifts are given through grace. Through grace. You see, the word for gift in the Bible is based on the same word for grace, which is the Greek word charis. Charis. And the gifts of the Holy Spirit are called charisma, one gift, or charismata, two or more gifts. And all of these Holy Spirit-given abilities are products or results of God's grace to you and to me. Now, we've all heard the English word charisma, usually describes someone who has a dynamic, charming, magnetic kind of personality. That is not the meaning here. You're probably also aware that a segment of Christians around the world refer to themselves as charismatics, and they frequently put a great deal of emphasis on the supernatural or what sometimes called the sign gifts of the Holy Spirit, things like divine healing and speaking in tongues and words of prophecy. But the fact is that every follower of Jesus is quite literally a charismatic. How so? Because every Christian has been given the gift of God's grace, his charis, and every follower of Jesus has also been given charismata, some set of spiritual gifts through the Holy Spirit. There are no haves, there are no have-nots in God's family. All and each are gifted by the Holy Spirit. Now, here's a question that often comes up. Is there a difference between a spiritual gift and what you might call a natural talent? And the answer is yes, absolutely there's a difference. For example, just because you have a natural talent to own and run and lead a business doesn't mean that you automatically possess the spiritual gift of leadership in God's church. Or just because you are a fine private or public school teacher doesn't necessarily mean that God has gifted you to teach His word to others. Now, having said that, however, it's been my experience as a pastor that frequently, more often than not, most people are gifted spiritually in many of the same ways that they are talented naturally. Not always, but frequently. For example, I have found people who possess the natural talent to be great medical nurses. You know what spiritual gift they often demonstrate? Mercy, compassion. People who have an innate, natural musical talent usually, yes, end up using those abilities for the Lord. Or maybe you enjoy encouraging and motivating other people just naturally. That's just kind of who you are. You will likely continue that on a deeper and a more spiritual level once you become a follower of Jesus. So natural talents, spiritual gifts are different, but often a natural talent, God takes that and uses it and makes it a spiritual gift in His children. All right. Third, spiritual gifts are given to every believer. Every believer. It's impossible for a person who doesn't believe in Jesus to possess a spiritual gift because he or she is not indwelt by the Holy Spirit. That should be obvious enough. Natural talents, sure. You don't have to have the Holy Spirit to have a natural talent, but spiritual gifts, yeah. You have to have the Holy Spirit within you. The Bible makes it clear that every believer has received one or more spiritual gifts. In the passage we read earlier today, it said a spiritual gift is given to who? Each of us. Each of us. So we can help each other. All right. You know, I have found over the years that it's still a very common mistake to create an artificial gap between two groups of Christians. What is sometimes called the clergy, folk who have titles like Reverend, Pastor, Bishop, in front of their names like I do, and the laity, you know, just the rest of you guys. Okay. And some people even like to lump pastors into the same company as doctors and attorneys and refer to us as professionals. And while I certainly believe that pastors ought to act professionally, I serve as a pastor primarily because that's a spiritual gift God gave me, not because that's my profession. And by the same token, you don't have to be on a staff in a church to possess important gifts that the Holy Spirit wants you to use to help build Jesus' kingdom. Be careful about confusing an office or a role, pastor, staff position in a church, with the gifting of the Holy Spirit. And don't ever buy into the myth that just a small spiritual elite are the only ones who are gifted to carry out God's work in this world or in this church. No, God calls, God gifts, God equips, God uses every single believer. Dr. Richard Halverson, a pastor who also served as the chaplain of the United States Senate for some years, shared this story. A man came to visit him who said, "Pastor, I'm 45 years of age. I've been an engineer for 20 years. Now I want to go to seminary so I can serve the Lord." And Halverson thought his observation was humorous if it weren't so tragic. Tragic why? Because somehow that man, that engineer, had missed the point that Jesus had called him to be an engineer. And if he had understood correctly what the Bible teaches about spiritual gifts, he would know that everything that he did as an engineer was just as much serving the Lord as going to seminary and standing in a pulpit. You see, it's easy to assume that pastors and other paid members of a church's staff are there to do most, if not all, of the church's ministry. We just pay them to do it all. It's not what the Bible teaches. My role as your pastor, Amy's role, Todd's role, Beth's role, Carrie's role, Carol's role, Ashby's role when he joins us next month, is really to help you discover your spiritual gifts, equip you to use those gifts, and provide an opportunity, a time and a place, a context, where you can put those gifts for the Lord to use here at Carl Road Baptist Church. God has given spiritual gifts to every follower of Jesus here. Do you know what your gifts are? Are you using them? If not, why not? And how long are you going to wait to find out? When you stand before Jesus one day, as we all will, and give an account to him of how you invested, how you used the spiritual gifts the Holy Spirit gave to you, what will you say? Please don't start whining on that day when you're standing before Jesus. "Well, Pastor Rick never told me what my spiritual gifts were. My church never asked me to do anything, at least not anything I wanted to do or liked to do." At the end of the day, it's your responsibility and yours alone to discover your spiritual gifts, develop those gifts, put those gifts to use. And my friend, if you are content to remain ignorant or fail to put them on you, or fail to put them to use, that is on you. It's not on me. It's not on the church. God's going to hold you responsible for that. Believe me, one of the great discoveries and adventures in life as a follower of Jesus is discovering the person that God made you to be and discerning your spiritual job description and having the impact that God wants you to have for his kingdom. Spiritual gifts are given, fourthly, with variety. With variety. You know, the beautiful world that we live in reveals how much God values variety. I mean, have you ever just sat back and considered the variety of flowers, the variety of animals that God has made? I mean, beyond that, God has created people with different skin colors and ethnic features, and people have different personalities, interests, abilities, just on a purely natural level. I mean, God's love for variety is also revealed in how the Holy Spirit has given out spiritual gifts. And so the very same Holy Spirit lives in you who lives in me. Nevertheless, you don't have my gifts and I don't have your gifts. And this was a point of great misunderstanding among those Christians in Corinth to whom Paul wrote this letter that we read earlier. Because you see, they began to believe that everyone should have the same spiritual gifts, and also that some spiritual gifts were more important than others. And as a result, some followers of Jesus began to feel superior to other Christians. And that can happen so easily, even today. I grew up in a church that believed that every Christian should have the spiritual gift of speaking in tongues, and that if you spoke in tongues, you were more spiritual than a Christian who didn't. They were wrong. But I've also heard other Christians insist that speaking in tongues is no longer valid for Christians today, and that those who do are somehow inferior Christians. They're just as wrong. Never forget that the Holy Spirit gives his spiritual gifts to Jesus' followers with just this great variety. You know, one of the joys of discovering your spiritual gifts is understanding what some call your gift mix. Ever heard that phrase, your gift mix? You see, the fact is that each of us has a unique combination of spiritual gifts. At least one gift, but probably more. Personality type, that's different. Life experiences that make us completely unique and one of a kind. And you and I don't need to waste our time and our energy complaining about what you may or may not have been given to you by the Holy Spirit. Instead, get busy discovering and developing and using your unique gift mix for God's glory. And God has specific areas of ministry that he wants you to be involved in right here at this church. He doesn't ask anyone to do everything. Instead, he calls and he equips each of us to do something that you are gifted and qualified to do. A fifth truth, keep it up there on the screen. A fifth truth, spiritual gifts are given for serving. I really like how the Living Bible rendered this verse. Why is it that he gives us these spiritual abilities to do certain things best? It is that God's people will be equipped to do better work for him, building up the church, the body of Christ, to a position of strength and maturity. The Holy Spirit didn't put spiritual gifts into you and into me to build our ego. His gifts aren't these hobbies to play with or personal possessions that you use if and when you so desire. Spiritual gifts instead are both tools to do God's work, and in some cases, they're weapons to use in spiritual warfare. We won't deal with that subject today, but it has both those kinds of functions, tools and weapons. The Corinthians had either forgotten this central truth or they were ignorant of it. You see, they made the Spirit's gifts a matter of feeling superior to others and, frankly, showing off. But the Holy Spirit always intended his gifts simply to be used to serve others. The end result is to build up the congregation as a whole. And Christian, if you still think that the sum total of your relationship with Jesus is just kind of dropping in here for a few hours on a Sunday morning and getting a spiritual pick-me-up and making sure your spiritual needs are met first and foremost, you are missing out on so much. God wants to employ you. He wants to put you to work in the work of his kingdom through this congregation. And you will find it, if you go into it with the right spirit, you'll find it the most wonderful thing in the world. In addition, God wants to see your place of your work, your neighborhood, your network of family and friends. He wants you to see that as your mission field, because many of those people have no relationship with Jesus yet. And any and every place can become this place where you serve King Jesus and help him to build his kingdom in people's lives through the use of your spiritual gifts. And serving others is the whole point behind Paul's use of that human body analogy. The parts of your body are all different, even though they're part of one body. They do different things. But they all have one goal, to make your body as healthy and useful as possible. And that's exactly the same mindset each of us should have toward this church. Now, here's a little different analogy that underlines the same truth as the one about the human body. Once upon a time, a set of carpenter's tools held a conference, and Brother Hammer presided. And several were unhappy with his leadership, and they suggested that he leave the meeting because he was too noisy. And Hammer replied, "Well, if I have to leave this carpenter's shop, Brother Screw over there needs to go too. You have to turn him around again and again and again to get him to accomplish anything useful." And Brother Screw said, "Well, maybe, but Brother Plain has got to go if I go. All his work is just on the surface. His efforts have no depth whatsoever." And to this insult, Brother Plain responded, "Well, Brother Rule's going to have to go if I go. He's always measuring people as though he were the only one who's right." And well, then Brother Rule complained about Brother Sandpaper. "Well, you ought to leave too because you're so rough. You're always rubbing people the wrong way." And into this increasingly heated discussion walked the carpenter, Jesus himself. He'd arrived to start his day's work. And putting on his apron, Jesus began to make a pulpit from which his good news could be proclaimed. And he used the hammer and the screw and the plane and the rule and the sandpaper and all the other tools at his disposal to accomplish his task. And after the day's work was done and the pulpit finished, Brother Saw remarked to the other tools, "Brothers, I now see that all of us are workers together for the Lord." All of us are workers together for the Lord. All of us are necessary. All of us have a place. So here's a sixth and a final truth today about spiritual gifts. They're given to be used in love at all times. They're given to be used in love at all times. Right after the chapter that we read from today, 1 Corinthians 12, Paul wrote those great words about love that are found in 1 Corinthians 13. Why? Because love is greater than all of those spiritual gifts combined. And he reminded the Corinthians and us that you might be able to speak in tongues endlessly. You might be able to preach the house down. You might be able to give billions of dollars to poor people You might even be killed for Jesus' sake as a martyr. But if love does not dominate your life, it's all just a colossal waste of effort. You see, love never elevates one spiritual gift and tears down the value of another. It never makes one follower of Jesus feel important at the expense of someone else. Love creates unity among followers of Jesus by appreciating the contributions of everyone. Love reconciles people and brings down the barriers that separate us. Love rejoices in the diversity of spiritual gifts that God has given his people and is never threatened by variety. Love is always eager to serve, folks, to keep on giving when you're not noticed, to keep on using those gifts without reservation, and to keep on serving even when it means personal sacrifice of some kind. That's how Jesus loves you and loves me. And when the Holy Spirit fills you with his love, you begin to love like Jesus loves. Now, folks, at this point, I usually walk down there. But Walt said, stay up here because your mic might drop. Okay, so just letting you know there we're changing it up this morning. So I know that means a big shift in your what happens at that point. So let me just share this closing story with you. The Anacostia neighborhood in Washington, D.C. sits on top of a cliff overlooking our capital city. It's a ghetto, Anacostia, full of poverty, hunger, crime, drugs, hopelessness. And Anacostia doesn't get a whole lot of frequent visitors from Washington celebrities and power brokers. However, one balmy June morning years ago, all these black limousines and all these TV camera trucks lined up on the curb in front of an old red brick church, the Assumption Catholic Church in Anacostia, Washington, D.C. And soon, a wisp of a woman dressed in a white sari moved up the steps of that church, waved at a cluster of children nearby, and brushed past reporters crowding the doorway. And that celebrity was none other than Mother Teresa, then a 70-year-old nun originally from the obscure country of Albania. She was now the world-famous winner of the Nobel Prize from 1979, the Nobel Peace Prize. And she could have commanded an airport welcome by a host of government bigwigs. She could have addressed a joint session of Congress. She could have attracted thousands at one of the city's great cathedrals. Instead, she just went as quietly as she possibly could to this troubled, neglected corner of Washington, D.C. to establish a new outpost for 9 members of her religious order, the Sisters of Charity. And since Mother Teresa wouldn't come to them, the Washington power types came to her. And so the mayor and the city officials trailed the press into the church and its halls with its, you know, chipped paint and cracked plaster walls. And the press shoved microphones in Mother Teresa's direction. One reporter said, What do you hope to accomplish here? And she smiled and she said, the joy of loving and being loved. Another reporter said, that takes a lot of money, doesn't it? Because, you know, everything in Washington takes money. And the more it costs, the more important it is. Mother Teresa shook her head and she said, nope, doesn't take a lot of money. It takes a lot of sacrifice. It takes a lot of sacrifice. What do you and I need to do to serve Jesus with our spiritual gifts, to be useful to him, to accomplish something in and for his kingdom? Folks, You do not need intellectual brilliance. You do not need outstanding leadership abilities. You do not need political power. And you do not need money. What you do need is Jesus' love and the willingness to use it to serve others. Let's pray. Father God, we thank and we praise you today for the gifts that you have given to us through your Holy Spirit. And Lord, probably everybody in this room could say, you know, sometimes I've done okay in this area of my life, and other times I've dropped the ball. Thank you that there's forgiveness for our failure to discover and develop the gifts that you've given to us. And there's always a new chance to begin to use them to help build your kingdom. And I pray that, Lord, many of us here in this room would just receive that fresh new encouragement today to discover, to develop, to use whatever gifts that you have put into us as your children. Lord, as we live out our lives before you this day and in this week, go with us. Fill us indeed with your Holy Spirit, who above all is the one who shares the love of Jesus through us and allows us to serve Jesus and to serve the people that Jesus sends our way. We ask that we might do that in the fullness of your Spirit. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.